With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Thorpey Effects. Thorpey Effects offer the best of British boutique effects pedals built to a standard unmatched in their field. And with a comprehensive range of unique and meticulously designed heavy-duty pedals, Thorpey Effects have stormed the boutique world. Check them out at thorpeyeffects.com, where at the moment there is even a clearance section on their website where you can save some serious money on some of their best effects pedals. Or visit one of the many retailers stocking Thorpey gear worldwide, from Andertons in the UK to Thomann in Germany, AMS in the USA, Vintage Guitar in Norway, Pedal Empire in Australia, and loads more. ThorpeyEffects.com. This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Orange Amplifiers and their Tremlord 30 guitar amp. A very Orange take on a classic, cool 1950s amplifier. It's a 30-watt 112 all-valve guitar combo with 2-foot switchable valve-driven tremolo speeds and 2-spring reverb tank. Everything you need to deliver high-quality, vintage-inspired, boutique-esque tones in the near-indestructible chassis of an Orange amplifier. Harking back to tremolos made famous in the 50s, the 12AX7 valve-powered tremolo oozes versatility and depth. With crystal clear clarity and buckets of headroom, the Orange Tremolo 30 is the latest in Orange's run of meticulously designed pin-drop perfect amplifiers. Visit orangeamps.com/tremlord for a detailed overview, sound samples, and links to dealers worldwide. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Mark Packham.
Toasty.
Yeah. Yes, and no Matthew Knight this week. I actually feel like we got a really good run of all four hosts on the series.
What do we do,
series.
2 weeks? Something like that?
it felt longer than that.
I think it was about 2-3 weeks.
Oh, well. Yeah, I don't know.
Everyone's busy. It's fine.
It's true.
I mean, except for us. It's just Matt who's busy, really.
Yeah. And this is you know, if you're in the UK, I guess this is kind of a bank holiday special episode, even though I guess this episode
It'll
goes out after
Wednesday,
the... It's not really bank holiday special, is it, at all? But it is for us, because we're recording it on the bank holiday.
Sunday morning.
Ah, yes. I thought it was Saturday morning until you guys informed me. I was very grateful for that.
That's what happens when you're basically unemployed. You lose track of time.
Yes.
No, it's nice getting up early. I like getting up early on a bank holiday. You make the most of it. I went out for a run.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm going climbing after this. What exercise are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing a pub crawl from Hove to Deep Brighton. My plan is to get so drunk that I don't remember.
Brighton? What's Deep Brighton?
Brighton. It's like Deep Brighton's like, you know, the heart of Brighton, the lanes, the middle of the lanes.
okay, where all the pubs are, basically. So probably not the best place to finish the pub.
Also, course. Where you said you were going is in the north lane, which is different to the lanes. Yeah. This is something that when people move out of Brighton, they sort of forget about all this stuff. Well,
there's
they,
the north lanes and the south lanes.
There's not the north lanes and the south lanes. There's the north lane
right,
and then there's the lanes.
Oh, right. So I should not say north lanes. I should say north lane.
Yeah. And it's with an I.
Yeah, I know. So is the other one, isn't it?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How long have you lived in this town?
12 years.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. I mean,
not anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
10 years, I guess. Yeah, you've been. Yeah. How long have you been in Angmering?
6 months, 7 months.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but enough. I mean, then also he was in Hove, so that doesn't count either.
Excuse me, if I'm counting Port Slade, then Hove definitely counts.
I've actually technically never lived in Brighton. I've always lived in Hove because it's superior.
BN1, mate. Neither of you two, BN1.
Always BN3. BN3 for me. That's the my favourite postcard. Anyway, we should talk about some guitar stuff. Some news. There's been some news. Not an awful lot of stuff. Do you feel like releases are getting more centred around the NAMs? I feel like they used to be more consistent than this.
I'll tell you one thing that's kind of throwing us off, and we'll kind of see this, I think, later when we actually do the news, is that a lot of the pedal manufacturers are basically releasing the same thing again as a version 2. So
every single piece of news this week is limited edition in some way, shape or form.
Yeah. So I think that's happening a lot. Like, it's, the bigger releases definitely are kind of coagulating around NAM. But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot. We've seen it from Earthquaker and stuff recently where it's been like, oh, they've done version 2 of an already great pedal. So it's kind of newsworthy, but, you know, it's not setting the world on fire.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting less exciting. Oh, well, on to things that are exciting. Mark Packham, you left your house this week and actually went to a shop.
Yeah. In fact, did I do two? Yeah, I think since I spoke to you last, I did. No, I've only done one new shop since then. So I went to Bonner's Music.
Bonner's Music. I've been there. In Eastbourne. Yeah, absolutely.
Which I always thought was just, you know, pianos and stuff. And I think for a long time,
it looks like it's... I was literally about to say, it absolutely looks like it's just a piano shop. It's one of those places that's all glass-fronted. And the ground floor, I think, is pianos only. They've just sort of shoved guitars upstairs. It's very clean. Everyone's wearing like a black shirt. They look more like sofa salesmen than sort of guitar shop employees.
So that has all changed.
Right.
Everything that you've just said has changed.
Wonderful.
My last experience, I probably went to Bonner's maybe 15 or 20 years ago. And yeah, it was definitely about, you know, getting a keyboard that, you know, your nan could play or a kid could learn on or whatever. Now they have, so guitars are back down on the shop floor.
Wonderful.
It's in terms of like the uniform that you described, it's a lot more casual.
Nice.
And the guitar department is over half of the shop now.
Oh, that's
fantastic
news.
So they have got they've got Fender, they've got Ibanez, they've got Epiphone and Gibson, they've got PRS.
Got any cool weird ones?
Not yet. So
they had a lot of SpongeBob last time I was there.
Yep, none of that anymore. Right. They've got like Martin, they've got Sigma. It was like a really good big guitar shop that I've not, you know, obviously we're kind of very lucky to have GAC on the doorstep and you kind of get used to that. But like to have another shop in the area or fairly close, you know, it's an hour on the train.
It's a cool thing. It's a big open shop, like a one room shop floor, isn't it?
Kind of not really anymore because like the guitar department is actually like separated off slightly.
Right.
So when you walk in, there's pianos and keyboards and stuff, but there's a big guitar department that's really got its own vibe. It's got like wooden paneling on the walls and some really good secondhand stuff as well. You know, there's some secondhand PRS, secondhand Fender, loads of pedals as well, which is again, not what I was expecting. I was expecting to walk in and like you say, to see like a lot of SpongeBob ukuleles and you know, like vintage, the brand acoustics and stuff like that.
A friend of mine, flat was flooded a couple of years ago, and a lot of his musical instruments.
He went to the bottom of the sea, and there was SpongeBob ukulele down there.
No, and his insurance company gave him store credit for Bonner's.
Yeah,
which is kind of annoying because we had to, you know, he wanted me to come with him to go and pick some new stuff. So we went to Bonner's in Eastbourne to have a look around. It was actually pretty tricky because the reason he got Bonner's vouchers because Bonner's were a Fender dealer and it was some Fenders that got damaged, and there were a couple of effects pedals as well, but pretty much everything that Bonner's had at that time, they had Fenders, but they would have to order in anything that wasn't like a Mexican standard. And they had a pedal cabinet, but it only had, you know, Boss and probably Behringer sort of in the pedal cabinet.
Yeah, so that's...
When was that, though?
I mean, maybe somewhere between 5-7 years ago, something
like that.
I mean,
the thing is, though, is you've got to bear in mind, when I started a GAC, for sure, which was 10 years ago, the only pedals that were on display were the Boss pedals. Yeah. And we had the Boss...
And Electro-Harmonix.
There was the Boss display where you could plug stuff in.
Yep.
There was also a cabinet that had more Boss pedals in it. And then there was a small cabinet at the front that had some Electro-Harmonix pedals in. That was literally it.
This might be before your time, but there was also an Electro-Harmonix plug-in display.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Where we took every Electro-Harmonix pedal and I think either screwed them or glued them to a big piece of MDF that was then attached to the wall.
Did you finish the MDF or was it just exposed?
I think it was just white MDF. Wow. And it was probably the worst bit of merchandising I've seen in a shop. We didn't do a good job.
What was on there?
Joe, you're getting ahead of yourself. This was maybe 2005, 2006. So it was all the big
muffs.
All the huge, bent black finger aluminium or whatever they are. All of those big ones were then just glued to a bit of just white MDF that was then glued to the wall. It was not great.
They all had like enormous current draw power supplies as well.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
As soon as you lose one, it's like, I'm just going to plug my 230 volt power supply into this or whatever.
Yeah, it's not even like we could power the whole thing with... No. And also, good power supplies just didn't really exist. So
I mean, I guess... The first kind,
you just have
everyone
a big
had that
multi plug and the, loads of them.
Yeah, that is
there.
Exactly what we had. Yeah.
I remember everyone just used to use those old AC/DC things.
I found one in my flat when I was moving.
I mean, they're just a generic
thing.
Just
said AC/DC, and I was looking at. I was like, I wonder how much power is on here because, of course, it's not isolated.
Yeah,
and I think all in all, it added up to about 400 milliamps.
Across the entire thing.
I mean, for the time, that's not bad. But I just remember everyone using those AC/DC ones, and then the MXR came out.
Yeah, yeah. So they were the ones that we used to get were by a local company called Hills, and they just branded a generic power supply from China or wherever they were buying it from.
Well, yeah, I remember buying mine from like Maplin or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even get it from a guitar shop.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. That was the same thing. I think they used to sell the Hills one as well.
Wow.
We literally had this big display which had all the chunky Electro-Harmonix pedals, and then at the top we just had probably four ways screwed to the wall, each with the power blocks, you know, the kind of what we would term like the wall wart. And then the power supply just like trailing down to the right pedal that it was supposed to be connected to.
Terrible.
It was awful. Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. Anyway, guitar shops have changed. Bonners is great now. I just wanted to throw that in there because I was actually incredibly impressed by how the shop's doing. And yeah, they've got like exotic pedals. Right. They've got a more exotic pedal.
Right.
They've got Wampler. They're getting JHS. It's cool.
Nice.
Really good.
Awesome. Do you remember those two pin inputs that you used to get on Electro-Harmonix pedals? What were they?
One part of it was like a flat blade and then one was like a cylindrical thing.
Yeah, they could really easily fall out.
Break inside.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I bet they could snap off really. They're kind of loose anyway. I was messing around with the Wiggler the other day. Absolutely fantastic pedal.
So was it the Wiggler, or was there the Worm as well?
The Worm was a multi-effect.
Okay.
The Wiggler is a vibrato or tremolo.
Okay, so sorry, I've sort of hijacked you here, but I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but the Worm, when you bought that, it used to come with a little kind of rubber worm toy.
Oh, that's in the great box. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Wait, and I do know this story. Yeah, go on.
And basically one time, funnily enough, it was a mate of mine came in to buy the Worm, and I was like, yeah, I was like, look, should we just plug it in, make sure it works, you know, make sure there's no dramas. He was like, yeah, okay, fine, that'd be awesome. And I like, the box was one of those ones where kind of the lid is all part of the same, you know, it's all part of the same construction,
right?
And it sort of opens up a bit like a chest. Okay. And it kind of I struggled to get it open a bit. And then as it popped open, this like thing jumped out at me. And it honestly, it scared the absolute living daylights out of me. And I yelled in the shop. And like everyone turned around. It was terrifying. But yeah, it was just a little toy worm. So
it's still a nice touch by Electro Harmonix. Yeah, I was messing around with the Wiggler. Oh, valve tremolo.
Yeah.
Oh, it was really good. I mean, it's massive and very unwieldy. But then you think, like, how good was the Black Finger? That was a fantastic compressor.
The main problem with those was the power supply issue, in the that you could never run them off, you know, a multi-way power supply. They always had to have their own power supply, because I think they're 24 volt. They've got that weird pin on them, which is that kind of blade and cylinder. And those power supplies were terrible, and the connection was terrible.
Yeah,
and I would say 80% of the time you open one of those, the valves had smashed in the box.
Yeah, that's always
It
wasn't 80% of the time.
Okay, fine. A significant percentage of the time.
The boxes are substantially oversized to the pedal to allow for the amount of padding there is in them now. But I thought it was great. And I love the fact that you can drive it. You can drive. It's got like an input and an output on the tremolo.
Yeah.
So you can just create this really, this really like over-compressed, soupy tremolo vibrato sound.
Do they you've got your computer in front of you, do they still list that stuff on the Electromonix site? Like,
I mean, they should do. It's still,
available.
I popped into GAC and played it, so it was there. Yeah they had two Wigglers in stock. They were in the in the warehouse, in like the far corner, sort of some dusty corner of the pedal bit of the warehouse, literally the furthest corner, the higher shelf right in the corner, these massive boxes. And I was like, what's that? Because it was quite near where they keep all the Black Finger was there and the White Finger, and I was like, ooh.
They must be. I'm just looking. I'm peering over Jay's shoulder at the at what he's got on there on the Electromonix site now. And it looked like there's just two tube products, right?
There was. So when you go onto the tube section or the tube products section,
because they did
of the website,
did a tube drive as well, didn't they?
Yeah, the English driver. Muffin.
No, they did something else.
They did a boost LPB2, I think.
The LPB2 were the English
hot
muffin
tubes, hot tubes.
Yes,
the hot
tubes as well.
The hot
that
tubes
definitely had. Tubes
what,
in it.
Did it?
Yeah, they made
a friend of mine still has it on its board.
Yeah,
its
they
board
made a Neo or Nano version of that as well, which didn't have the tubes.
And they did
in
the same with the English Muffin.
What was the English Muffin?
It's just a drive pedal.
It's like a Marshall preamp.
Right. Oh, of course.
So the Wiggler is on. So you're basically the other thing that's. So what Electromonix have got on their website under tube products is the English Muffin, and then their like $2,000 rack tube compressor. Those are the two things that are still in stock.
But they don't list the Black Finger must still be in production.
I don't think so. I wouldn't have thought.
I think there's a non-tube version.
Well, that's the White Finger.
The
White Finger is the non-tube version of the Black Finger.
Okay, well, we need to look.
The Wiggler is listed as discontinued, but it is on the website.
Wow.
I tell you what, that's...
Two of them at GAC. People in the UK, if you want to.
I mean, in all seriousness,
it's fantastic.
We should just make them an offer on it.
Yeah.
So they've probably been there for 10 years.
Were they in a wooden box?
And I've unboxed one of them now. Yeah. So you
was it a wooden box or was it a...
No, it was a cardboard box.
See, that's,
but like,
I bet you that
really
solved
large,
the problem with
a really
the
large
valves
box
breaking. Because that was kind of the issue before, is they were sort of rattling around in this wooden box. And
And the reason I picked it up was because it was an unmarked sort of box. And it's the size... It was in the Electro Harmonix bit, and it's the size of a multi-effects pedal. So I was like, what on earth is this? Opened it up, and of course, it was just all the padding around the Wiggler.
Sorry, are you just like wandering around the GAC warehouse, even though you don't work there anymore? You're just rocking up, being like, "Hi, everyone! Oh yeah, Joe's here. Yeah. Where's Joe?
You're basically David Brent after he gets sacked."
Guess what I was doing? Just helping out in the warehouse. Don't worry, guys. I'll get that.
Please. I haven't spoken to anyone in 4 days. So the demo video for the Wiggler is from 2009, so 10 years ago. It must have come out way before that.
Yeah, definitely. Those valve pedals were on that display that I was talking about, which I think is probably made in like 2005, 2006, something like that. So
I thought it was a great product.
There's a demo on their website from
2008. Okay.
Pro Guitar Shop demo.
I guess that's probably, when was the first YouTube video? 2007?
Yeah, I guess that would be pretty early.
Something like that.
They they had one of those, you know, Robert Keeley teamed up with Supro and made that super crystal clean amp. That was knocking around, and I was like, oh, I want to see if I can use like really high quality products and make like a trad sort of Vox style sound with this. So I got the T-Rex replicator and the Electro-Harmonix Wiggler.
I love you're just wasting people's time.
Well, there's no one was doing anything. The room was free. I was sure. Like, I'm just going to play around with these pedals. So I got those two things and ran them into the Supro Keeley. It was a very good sound.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that T-Rex replicator, I want one. I still want one. Do you think I should get one?
Was it the junior or was it the...
Well, the junior isn't that much cheaper than the main one.
Right.
That's the thing.
What'd you lose on the junior? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
No need to look it up. Just, you know, off the top of your head.
I don't know. Maybe a modulation function, something like that.
Yeah, they are really good. It's just, do you need it?
Well, it's tape delay. It's real tape delay.
Yeah, but in the Guitar Nerds family, you know, we've got a Space Echo.
What's your one?
I've got a Watkins Copycat. Yeah. And I've got the Roland SRE555.
See, and they're Matty, still too big.
And Matty has got a RE201.
But we've also got access to an RE20, which is incredible sounding as well.
I've got an RE20.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So do you need it?
I just wanted something with real tape, you know?
Sure.
Real vowels in a tremolo, real tape in a delay.
Yeah. I mean,
that would be a good rig.
You're always welcome to borrow one of mine if you... Like, they're just up there. I very rarely plug them in.
Thank you. Speaking of a very...
Go on, do it.
Yeah, go on, I'm segueing. Speaking of very authentic gear, I've done my first full band practice with the Line 6 Helix.
Okay.
Oh, really? How was that?
I used it for writing, and I've found that the whole way through our new track, I am just using one sound. So
good. Is that because it's too much hassle to bend down and like mess with? No, I'm being serious.
Oh, wait, no.
Too much... It's not as... kind of organic as bending over and like messing around with the pedals in front of you?
No, I think you can do that. But what I did was I built my board at home. So I built it with headphones on and put like a cab sim and an amp sim on and then built all the patches so I could have a clean, a driver modulated sound, a crazy delay sound, a phasing sound, and assigned them all to buttons. And then I just swapped out I just duplicated those patches and on a second one. So I've got one for home with headphones, which has the cab sim and the amp. And then a second one where I swap out the cab sim and the amp for a preamp. So I can just run it into the front end of my Ashdown and essentially use it more as
a pedal board.
It's a pedal board. Yeah. There's a preamp on the end, which I use the Ampeg B15 simulator. And I just actually have two of them because I run a clean Ampeg B15 at all times.
Okay,
and then
that's
I
cool.
run a second line with my drive.
Yeah.
Because the Helix doesn't actually have that many bass suited pedals on it, which means a lot of the time with the drives they'll get a bit thin.
So you want to have
just having that clean signal.
I mean, we talked about this before. I really like the idea of getting that Electro-Harmonix tri-parallel mixer for that exact reason. Like, I really want to have the opportunity to put some kind of weird effects onto my bass sound, but as soon as you do anything weird with your bass, you lose that kind of that thump.
The bass.
You lose the bass, essentially. Which is, you just need that to keep on going. And I think Absolutely. Having the clean signal going through as well, I think is a really good idea.
Well, I kind of found it's almost more than that. The Helix, it's not about that drive sound for me is so much more now than me just turning on a drive pedal and messing around with a handful of controls to get the sort of sound I want. I can have that clean signal running through. Then my second signal is, you know, a compressor running into a Timmy style drive. Mm-hmm. But then, what do they call it?
Jimmy, something like that.
I can't remember what it is. It's an obvious one there. Yeah. But then, like after that, I can run a parametric EQ to kind of deal with anything that I'm not happy with, any frequencies that were coming through. Like there were a couple, there was a lot of weird mud coming through, so I can put a little bit of bass cut on.
Yeah, I mean, we've all listened to your band, mate.
I absolutely want someone to cut that sentence out. There was a lot of weird mud coming through, and make something out of that, please. There must be some sort of Joe Brandon mashup in that.
Wonderful. Thank you. But yeah, just the amount of tone shaping you could do was fantastic. So I was really happy, the happiest I've ever been with my drive tone. But, you know, I did, nonetheless, it was a massive Helix pedalboard on the floor, and I essentially
just use one sound.
Just one sound, yeah. I need to think of something to add to this new song to make me actually change. See, the thing is, I've gone and got this Helix shortly after a time when we've added a keyboard player who's sort of doing a lot of the modulation-y things that I would normally do. So my job role is now...
Why don't you just all just become keyboard players?
Yeah, that's probably the end result of this.
Yes.
I mean, you would just turn into Kraftwerk.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah.
Just four of you standing behind platforms.
Yeah,
just...
I'm into that. Anyway, before we move over and do some news, I know we mentioned them last week. Has everyone seen the Fidelity Stella Rosa Jr.?
Yes, I have.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Jay?
I have seen it, yeah.
Oh, well, that's it then. Let's move on.
Cool. No,
the only thing about that for me is I want to hear what it sounds like with the pick, because the pickup's like square in the middle, right?
Yeah.
So, and a single coil guitar with a pickup in the middle, not a single coil, so a single pickup guitar with a pickup square in the middle, I think is a brave choice.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how it sounds.
See, Matt Oram said that he chose the middle one because he thinks it sounds the most characterful on its Todd out of the three pickups in their placement. But listener, if you've not seen it, they've done the Stella Rosa is a kind of a far more square, very retro style guitar with a double sided scratch plate, and in this case, it's one of those. What's the pickup brand? Mojo, not Mojo.
I can't remember.
Montes.
Thank you. Yeah, I always forget that name. Yeah, so it's one of those Montes, like a Montes style P90 with a sort of custom housing for it. But yeah, just bang in the middle, which is...
It looks like
a... And it's a hardtail, and he almost always puts those mastery bridges.
It looks like a kind of future retro coronet.
Yeah.
That's true, actually. Like a steampunk coronet.
Yeah, I guess like some of that Epiphone stuff had a kind of P90 in the center. So yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'd be keen to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to sound good. Well, it's hopefully making its way down to us at some point soon. So we're going to get to
keep
have
it.
A listen.
Yes, have it forever. Yes, we will keep Thanks, it forever. Matt. Really appreciate your donation.
Thanks, mate. Anyway, should we do some news? First up on the news, Mark Packham.
Hello.
TC Electronics, a company who have been relatively quiet since, you know, in the last year or so.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are... It's kind of not a new product, this. It's almost like a mashing together, get it? Mashing. Of two of their existing products.
They have the mash feature.
Indeed, yeah. Got it. I was going to tell you more about
what
that.
What was their last one? They did that pink pedal called the Brain Lab.
Yeah, so... the Brain...
I'm looking. Keep stalling.
But yeah, it's been a while since they've done a new...
Brainwaves. TC Brainwaves.
When did that come out?
I don't know.
Like this year?
My goodness, it's like less than £100. Wow. Oh
God, the TC website is... Sorry, carry on.
It's hard to navigate. Anyway, so this is basically a kind of combination of an existing design and one of their existing pedals. So what I'm talking about is the Hall of Fame 2 X4. So they've been doing the X4 pedals for a little while.
Did they do a Hall of Fame 1?
They did not. No, we've actually been talking about this for a while.
Have we?
Yeah, we've been saying that it's weird that it doesn't exist.
Because what is the only... Because they do 2x4 pedals.
Flashback.
And Ditto.
And Alter Ego.
Yeah, I had one of those.
The Alter Ego was great.
That was fantastic.
It was really cool.
Was the Alter Ego the different sound?
It was kind of their...
Was it the delay?
Yeah, it was the delay.
But it was all weird delays.
Yeah, weird delays.
But it was like made with a retailer, wasn't it, I think?
Oh, was it?
I think it was like a guitar.
It had a very different look.
No. But I think they worked with a retailer to work on those sounds. I can't remember who it was.
It would make sense. It was nothing like anything else in their catalogue. So that does make sense.
So anyway, the Hall of Fame 2X4, which is complicated, is basically that. It's kind of four Hall of Fames, Hall of Fame twos in one box. So you've got all of the things that you'd expect from the Hall of Fame. The key thing about this, the four on-off switches are all mash switches. So
that's a lot of mashing.
Yeah, there's a lot of mashing.
You could potentially mash two things at once.
You could.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Well, I guess different things.
Have multiple
mash?
Can you have
the old multi mash?
The multi mash. I do the multi mash. Can you have two different effects on at the same time?
Well, I assume that's why there's four things. You've just got four different types of reverb. If they're both on and you hit the mash switch at the same time, it's going to mash two separate things.
Can you turn them on and off individually, though? Or are they just presets?
What are you talking about?
Well, because it's not like four pedals in a line.
Isn't it?
No, it is four.
I think
it is
just four pedals in a line.
A, B, C, D.
Yes.
So, 10 quality reverb
types. Okay, so 100%.
I think they're just
four independent mashes. You can 100% mash.
Preset bank switch lets you easily access up to 8 stored presets.
Yeah.
So that will be 2 on each one, I would have thought. So
yeah, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, you can't have two of the reverbs on at once.
You can.
I don't think you can. I think those switches
that would seem like a missed opportunity.
Though, well, surely the idea is that it just gives you four presets. Yeah. Or eight presets.
No, I don't want that, though. I want to be able to turn two things on at once.
I agree.
Oh, I really hope I can
turn the four mash foot switches let you choose between reverbs on the fly. And depending on how hard you press them down, you can control up to 3 effects parameters.
Right.
Using the bank switch, users can access a further 4 presets so the unit can run with 8 presets at a time.
I guess they haven't done it like that because it would sound very messy.
Yeah, totally.
Which I know that Joe is, you know, seething right now, but like for most people,
I feel let down.
It does seem strange though that they'd have 4 independents that you can't. Yeah, okay.
Well, it's just 4 presets. It's like a DL4 or whatever. Yeah. Like you can't have multiple delays.
Now think about it. I don't think you could have on the Flashback X4. You couldn't multiple. But they did do. Was it the Flashback triple? Yeah, the Flashback triple delay, which did let you have 3.
Right. Got it.
That must
3
be
on at once.
So one thing that I didn't know is one of the new effects on there is the shimmer, which came out on the fluorescence pedal.
The shimmer's on the 2, on the normal 2 as well.
Okay, fine. So I didn't realise that is co-designed, that sound, by Daniel Lanois, who was Bob Dylan's producer for a long time.
Oh, cool.
And your old mate Brian Eno. Oh,
really? Is he involved?
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Brian Eno t-shirt right now.
How about that?
Oh, breaking the fourth wall.
I didn't notice because it looks like all your other t-shirts, which are just white t-shirt faded with one print of some nonsense on the front.
This is the Before and After Science album cover, which is a great record.
If only they'd spent a bit more time on the t-shirt.
I'm sure this is a fake.
Yes.
So, I wouldn't worry too much.
Hall of Fame 2, what a great sounding reverb pedal. Like, still, I mean, I think the sort of design of the TC pedals is starting to be left behind a little bit in comparison to the sort of other trends in the effects pedal industry. Just a bit, like, it's a bit of a basic sort of cartoony font. The shape of the pedal is a bit... It looks more like a kid's toy than it does a professional piece of equipment.
Design-wise. I mean, I don't care about the shape of the box.
All of these kind of like boutique companies are trying to do like quirky, cartoony stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
What TC are doing is they've got a very simple, you know, not with their budget range necessarily, but with their, you know, the kind of standard compacts, is they've got their, each one's got a different color and then it's got a logo on it and then it tells you what it does.
Yeah,
and it's,
I
like them. I think they're cool.
I prefer the look of their budget range.
I tell you what, there's a pedal that they do called the Mojo Mojo. I don't know if you've heard about it. Great sounding drive pedal. You should check it out. It's good.
The Hall of Fame 2 is an absolutely fantastic reverb pedal, though, that still has kind of stood the test of time against an awful lot of reverb pedals.
Definitely.
That are a lot more money. Do you know how much this Hall of Fame is?
£205.
So still less money than the Strymon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, the Strymon, I think, is doing something more complicated. But, yes.
I don't know. The Hall of Fame does an awful lot of stuff. Plus, you've got, I assume it's got their tone print
It does.
Thing on there, so you can download anything else, any other sound you can possibly think
there's
of.
There's also, I think there's some pre-installed artist tone prints. It doesn't say who from, but yeah, apparently so.
Oh,
and I think there's four slots for your own tone prints as well.
So, listener, do you use TC Electronic pedals? If you do, do you ever actually use the tone print feature? Is that a thing people use, do you think?
I've never used it.
Joe, I have to be honest with you. I'm really not sure that you, a individual with a tone print, should be criticising the fact that
I'm
do these.
User, criticizing.
Listener, have you ever used Joe Branton's tone print, or do you use ones that are much better?
You have to specifically have the shaker vibrato in order to do that. Yeah.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their brand new Ruby Alnico guitar speaker. Purpose built to create rich, beautiful vintage tones, the Ruby oozes a richly musical warmth with mellow highs and a smooth, sophisticated mid-range that always seems to sound just right. The classic Alnico speaker shape and lush, deep red colour ensures Ruby really looks the part in your cab and guarantees that no one could possibly mistake this remarkable new guitar speaker's family history. Check out Celestion's new Ruby at retailers including Lean Business in the UK, Tube Amp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Ebelaud in Spain, plus Gear for Music, Toman and The Backshop. And in the USA, you can buy through retailers like Sweetwater, Musicians Friends, AMS, Parts Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. And for more details, check out Celestion.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Bastion.com.
Yeah, didn't even get a second version of that pedal. There wasn't even a mash version of the shaker released. So there's
what
you
got a perfect first time.
Yeah,
you know?
Well,
I just got the Joe Branton tone print, so you know, it's feature complete.
I mean, they probably don't have it backed up. So if they put out a new version,
they'd lose it,
and they don't want to spend any more time with him.
I actually heard in the purchase by Behringer, they were like, "Boys, you know, you've got to keep that tone print, otherwise we can't buy the company."
I reckon that's what it was.
And I now owned by Behringer.
Yeah.
Mm.
What was that noise?
No, I was just thinking of the money I could be making.
Do you know what? I've been playing a lot of Diablo 3 in the last couple of weeks.
How?
What do you mean?
How is this linked to Behringer?
I'll tell you for why.
Right.
I've been playing a lot of Diablo 3 and the voice acting in it, very bad.
Hello.
Exactly, it is that, basically.
Do you want to trade?
Yeah, it just made me think. You know, we've talked about it so many times.
King and country.
But you just need to be doing this. You need to be doing, like, NPC voices for...
I stay for fishing.
Yeah, exactly that.
Hello. Do you want to trade?
Exactly that. Can you say something about, like, shields and that?
What about shields?
I don't
know.
That's
a bit of a random one.
I'm just thinking of things.
He says anything about shields.
Okay, say something about a map or like going on a quest.
Do you need a map?
I don't know.
A quest for Isandar.
Yeah, exactly that.
I'm you really should be doing this.
Does anyone listen? Anyone listening?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, thank God.
Not anymore.
Thank good. God, we're talking about Joe Branton doing voice acting. But is there anyone listening who works in like video games or like animation who needs
casting
voiceovers?
I used to play a lot of Elder Scrolls, I think 3, think it was, when I was younger, and I used to absolutely love the voice acting in that. It was similarly bad. It was the one where you could create your entire own team. So you had 8 characters and you could flick through. You obviously chose their sort of their race, their skills, you know, how they looked, the colors of their clothes, but you also got to choose like a load of voices.
Yeah.
Oh, and I absolutely
did. You just go through and basically do the sound test.
I'm Erwin.
Yeah, I used to love those ones. They were so good. And there's always like the gruff dwarf. He's always going, yes.
I just really want someone to be listening who can get you work in this, and then we don't have to pay you anymore.
Yeah, that would be good.
Just bringing it back to guitar pedals for a moment, if I can be so bold.
Do you want to trade?
Maybe I'll just, you know, like we should set that up as
make a soundboard.
Yeah. Joe Branton soundboard.
Has anyone had a chance to have a go on the TC June 60?
No.
Ah, yeah.
The wood panelled chorus that is clearly a Juno.
See, that was knocking around back, what, like 3 years ago. I went to because when I went to GitCon, Tor had it there as a
really?
Prototype.
I didn't realise it was that.
Pre-production had a prototype. So me and Nick Reinhardt were checking it out. Because it was around the same time. That would be when the Quintessence came out.
I mean,
it just landed.
The June 60 chorus officially it came out at NAMM this year.
But there's been photos of it for ages.
Yeah, because we put up a photo of it back then. It wasn't quite 3 years ago, was it? It was like 2. But it was more than 2, like 2.5. Yeah. It's been two years
since you've been invited to one of those things. And then now there's like 3 of them going at once. So.
And you're not going to any of them.
I am not.
But yes, I really like the look of it. I think it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And just kind of controlless pedals I'm really into. You know, the fact that they've so much confidence in their sounds. They've gone, okay, cool, yeah. You can have it sound like this or you can have it sound like this. What do you want?
Can you hit both buttons at once?
I don't know.
Probably not. So just 2 sounds.
Haven't got to try one yet, so.
Actually, it looks like you can.
Just mash them both in.
Three tones.
Or there's also an option between mono and stereo. Oh, actually, so I wonder if that goes from one to the other. Don't know. But it looks really cool.
Yeah.
And it's Bucket Brigade, so it probably sounds really good.
I was going to say, is it not just the same thing as their Third Dimension? But I guess it's
analog. It's an analog chorus.
Oh.
So.
Is it a lot of money?
I don't know. Let's have a
look. It's probably not. It's the chassis from their affordable pedals.
It's not. Well, yeah,
with wood panels on the side.
Oh my gosh, honestly, they're like less than 50 quid.
What?
Yeah.
What?
They're so cheap.
I was thinking if it's less than 200, this is pretty cool.
It's, well, I mean, like you say, it is just
it
their,
is the it more is their, affordable.
Yeah.
Wow.
But with a couple of bits of wood.
Yeah,
but still, you think even the wood would put up the price.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I need to get one.
They're less than 50 quid. That's crazy.
Oh. I'm gonna have to pop back into GAC, potter around the effects shelves again. No, I should actually get one of these. They sound fantastic. Oh, I don't know what they sound like. They look fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, which is the important thing.
Yeah, that is the important thing.
Get loads of likes for that.
That's the only thing I care about. So we were going to talk about this new Gibson signature model that's come out. And then Jay, you pointed out to me that this is far more than just a Gibson signature model. In fact, there is a whole chunk of signature models.
Well, we had 2 separate bits of news on the agenda this week, but actually it turns out they're the same bit of news.
Yeah, so basically Guitar Center appear to have kind of gone a bit rogue and have released a bunch of artist signature models from a bunch of different companies all in one series that are all exclusive to them.
That's a really interesting idea. Has anyone ever done that before? Anything this...
I wouldn't have thought...
This broad.
Like, I wouldn't have thought that a retailer has done it.
No. But it's a great idea. What a wonderful way to use the advantages of being a retailer, like your independence from brands, in order to bring together loads of things from loads of premium brands under the sort of umbrella of one series. Mm-hmm. Like that. This is a great idea.
So this is called the Crossroads Guitar Collection, and it is 5 limited edition guitars. 3 from Clapton, three signature Clapton models. So the Blind Faith Telecaster, which is a 68 three-tone Sunburst Tele with a Strat neck.
Classic combo.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
I mean, should we talk about these in detail as we go through?
Well, I'm just going to go through them quickly.
Then
there is the 64 Firebird 1, again, a Clapton model. The final Clapton model is a Martin 00042 ECZ, which is because it's a 00042 Eric Clapton in Zerikote.
Ah, Zerikote.
Then there is a Martin 00042 JM John Mayer in Coco Bolo. You're right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You sneeze?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the final one is a PRS Private Stock Carlos Santana guitar. So yeah, a lot going on there.
Mm, there is a lot going on. Santana has a lot going on. Always wearing cool hats and has a great moustache.
Interestingly, so the reason it's called the Crossroads Collection, obviously it ties in with Eric Clapton's...
See you at the Crossroads.
Yeah, exactly.
Crossroads.
Yeah, they're actually giving all the proceeds to the Blazing Squad.
Yeah.
It ties in with the 2019 Crossroads Guitar Festival, 20th and 21st of September, and they describe it as a significant portion of the proceeds of the sale of the guitars will be donated to benefit Clapton's Crossroads Centre Antigua, which provides treatment and education to chemically dependent persons.
Like
a rehab centre that he's been running for, I think it's like 20 years or something.
Really? I had no idea. That's really cool.
That's why the Crossroads pedal is called that, because I think the portions of the profits from that also went to the centre.
I mean, there weren't profits from that pedal.
Sure. And also, I think the... do you remember the Crash guitars that he did? Which are a custom shop guitar in collaboration
with
Crash, who does just kind of blocky art. And
oh, I do remember. Yeah, I remember those.
I think some of the proceeds from that as well also went to the Crossroads.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool. He gives a lot to... gives a lot to the old charity.
Yeah, well, he obviously saw that David Gilmour had done quite a bit recently.
I mean, I can't imagine that he knocked this out in, the
2 weeks,
the 3 weeks it's been since that auction. Probably been bubbling
away. You don't know how these things work.
You're right. I don't know how these things work.
Yeah. Anyway, so the easily the most exciting instrument here is the 1964
Firebird John Mayer Martin 00020. Yeah.
Did Santana also do a cover of Crossroads? Is that why? Because John Mayer did.
I've no idea.
And maybe that's why.
Yeah, he did. It went, and it was just like the ocean under the moon. And it's the same as the emotion that I get from you. Yeah. You got the kind of loving that could be so smooth. Yeah. Give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it. Crossroads. Crossroads.
I tell you what, unironically,
yeah,
that is such a good song.
I mean, it's a great solo.
No, the whole thing is fantastic. Even down to the beginning, the drum bit.
I don't know.
Like those drum intro, fantastic.
Santana is great. Santana is a fantastic guitarist, and I love his Cocteau sound.
You just hate Rob Thomas.
Who's Rob Thomas?
The singer on that song.
From Matchbox 20.
Oh, I thought it was...
It's Carlos Santana featuring Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20.
Oh, I thought it was Ricky Martin.
No.
I think he did do a song with Ricky Martin, though. I'm pretty sure he did do a song with Ricky Martin.
Look.
Yeah.
Living La Vida Loca, great song.
Do you want me to talk about that guitar as we're on the Santana tip?
Go on then, and then we'll talk about the incredible Firebird 1.
Yeah, okay, so PRS Private Stock Carlos Santana Crossroads is selling for $11,999.
It's got a weird headstock.
That is what the Santana model has. It doesn't have the traditional PRS headstock.
Oh.
So the idea behind this one is this guitar is before... Wait, let me find the exact story. In fact, before PRS achieved worldwide acclaim as a top guitar manufacturer, its founder and namesake was hand-building gorgeous instruments that would serve as the prototypes for his prestigious brand. One of these guitars was personally commissioned by Carlos Santana pre-1985, an instrument still owned and cherished by Santana. So basically, this guitar is based on the PRS guitars that Paul Reed Smith was building before
PRS
basically, right. Of which, the Santana model is based on, and like it says in the press release here, Santana owns one of the original prototypes. In terms of spec, it's that pre-85 body shape, which is that small, almost kind of Hamer shape with the the
oh, is that a different body shape? I guess it is. It's more symmetrical.
Yeah, it's
from
not
the
like
current.
A Custom 22 or anything right. like that. No, it's a completely different body shape. Again, it's the one that the Santana model is based on. 24 1/4 inch scale, 24 fret Brazilian rosewood board, bird inlays, HFS and Santana humbuckers. And twin mini switches for coil tapping.
That's what you want.
There's only six going to be made
really?
Of these. Which
did
I don't
you
know...
say 11 grand in USDs?
Yes, indeed.
Six?
Yeah, exactly that. There's no. I'm just looking at the others to see whether there's a limited edition number on the rest.
Because they all
like...
went on pre-sale on the 20th.
You would
a
think
few
that,
days ago.
You would think that if this was a kind of collection that they would all be limited to six as well, but it seems like not. That's the only one I can see that has a limited edition number on it. So, yeah.
So I absolutely love Firebird ones. They are such incredibly cool looking guitars. I think it's the idea of like having that much wood on a body and then just having one mini humbucker.
Yeah,
like,
it's cool.
It looks fantastic. I wish it didn't have a tone control.
Yeah.
The tone control also to me looks really weirdly placed on the Firebird one.
I mean, that's where they were.
I'm sure it was. It's just it's as close as you could possibly get to the bottom of the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
It just seems like the sort of perfect place
but
to
also
get
also any closer and it would look weird.
Maybe.
But just lose the tone control entirely. That's what we're
just
saying.
Just lose the tone control. No need. Yeah. But Firebird ones look so cool. I never ever think of Eric Clapton as being a Firebird player.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the story of it here. You know, it's a 64 Firebird. Bear in mind as well, price on this $11,762.
Crikey, you can get the Joe Bonamassa Epiphone for like 500 quid.
Sure. So, 64 guitar. Clapton bought the original in 1968 in a guitar shop in Philadelphia. It was part of the Cream farewell tour.
Yeah, he said he said that he remembers that instrument specifically as being an exceptional piece. Bear in mind, he was by the end of Cream, a Les Paul player and of course an SG player initially. So, you know, not really a guitar that he's associated with at all.
So this apparently, as part of the Cream farewell tour, basically he had to retire the full SG, which was the one that had the psychedelic paintwork on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it had just been used too much. Basically, he lost all the paint and he was looking for a guitar to replace it. So that's where this Firebird comes in. And then the reason that it's or it's best known, I guess, is for his playing in Blind Faith, which was, I guess, the band after Cream. And yeah, that's what this guitar is modelled on, is that particular guitar. There's not much to say. It's a Firebird one that's coming out of the custom shop. I'm sure it'll be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
There do appear to be some of these in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Really? Hmm. Oh, wow, that's cool. That's cool. Which I thought all of them were getting pre-ordered and would have been sold by now.
It looks like there's only 100 being made and fewer than 10 are coming to the UK by the looks of things.
Well, there we go.
Oh, very cool.
I'm not sure if this is the same one. I think it is. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the telly as
well? Yeah, the telly's a bit of a weird one.
So the telly is, again, based on a... in fact, does it say... Oh, okay.
It's
so
it's one he played in a movie, isn't it?
Yeah, 64 telly. So again, from the press release, this is 1968. Cream were in the Danish movie Det var en lørdag aften.
Det var en lørdag aften.
Something like that. And yeah, he's using this Fender telly, 64 telly. So it's like a custom bound telly, three-tone sunburst, but with a Strat board. But on here it says that guitar had a rosewood fingerboard. Strat neck, sorry.
56 Strat neck.
Yeah. So on here it reckons that had a rosewood board. But the guitar that is the neck that's now on the guitar. Oh, yeah. Okay. So Clapton played the guitar during the Blind Faith era. His neck has changed to the very same maple fingerboard Stratocaster neck as Clapton's classic Brownie, a 56 Strat neck. So, yeah, it's now got a 56 neck on there with a maple board. And again, in terms of like. Other info about this, there's not a huge amount out there. This one is custom shop built by Todd Krause, and yeah, it's basically you get the guitar, it comes with a replica of the Strat he used in 1969 as well.
It's so weird, it's so niche.
Yeah, really,
it's
niche.
Just so niche. I just don't understand why they didn't do like just a more premium version of sort of Brownie or Blackie.
They've done
or
all
something.
Those, they've done all
I
those.
Know, just do another one. I don't know,
something else, isn't it?
It's just weird. I've just never seen him play this guitar.
I've got to mine the archives.
Fine, yeah, I guess that's what this is.
This little bit in the press release really kind of taken me aback a bit. On June 7, 1969, Blind Faith had their debut concert in front of more than 100,000 people at Hyde Park.
Yeah.
That is mad.
I have never even heard of that band. I really like Cream.
Who else is in it? Ginger Baker.
Ginger Baker's in it. I wasn't sure who else is. Steve Winwood is in it.
And playing bass, isn't it?
Ben Affleck.
Rick
Morales.
Greck.
Oh.
Okay. Not sure who that is.
Rick Greck.
Rick Greck.
Yeah, it's not a huge amount of... I'm sure there's people absolutely losing their minds at us.
How could you not know this band?
I don't know what other bands he was in. I'm just on his Wikipedia page, but I don't know. Yeah.
Cool guitar, though. Looks great. And, you know, with all of these, I love that there's a story. That's what you're buying into. Yeah. That's why you're spending £11,000 on these. How much? $11,000, sorry. How much is the Tele, actually? Also, it's $12,000.
Oh, wait, the Tele's more than the Firebird?
By about $200.
Yeah,
so not a huge amount. In the grand scheme of things. Amount. Yeah, not much. But yeah, that's what you're buying into. You're buying into the fact they're limited edition, they're based on these storied guitars, and also, you know, give a bit of money to charity.
Yeah, very cool indeed. Jay Cross.
Hello.
We've got another thing from Sun in a very short space of time.
Yeah, so obviously the Earthquaker Sun pedal sold out. There was 1,000 of them. I hadn't realized it was quite that many, actually.
Right.
It was 1,000 of them, and we talked about them a couple of weeks ago.
Obviously, they had the whole debacle with people purchasing them and then reselling them.
And then selling them immediately. So in order to kind of counteract that, I guess, Earthquaker have released another version of the Sun pedal, but this one only has 500 available. So actually, I don't think it's gonna quite help the aftermarket at all, but that's fine. This one is gold. It looks fantastic.
Look at the box is one of the best bits of packaging I've ever seen.
The box is actually, that's the cover of Life Metal, which is their new LP.
Got it.
And there was a
Life Metal.
Yeah. It's honestly, I mean, you would hate it, but I was listening to it this week, actually. It's so good. So Matty and I are going to go and see them.
What's the best chorus on it? Like,
I think probably
the best chorus.
Yeah,
on it.
They use a Fender bubbler and it sounds fantastic. Yeah,
not talking about that, man.
The Fender bubbler.
Where's the hooks? Ooh,
why was that the first one you thought of?
Because I work for Fender and I'm in charge of effects pedals.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you.
what's the hooks?
Has
it got as many hooks as the new Taylor Swift record? Because that is an absolute banger.
Basically. There's this little quote in here from the in the press release, which I'd forgotten that they kind of champion. Maximum volume yields maximum results.
Right, nice.
Which is fantastic.
That's good.
Basically, this pedal is going to be borderline unusable for anybody who isn't doing kind of like drone noise projects. Like, you're not going to be able to use this when, you know, covering Smooth by Rob Thomas and Carlos Santana.
Classic song.
Really, really cool.
Oh,
but basically,
what that song was called?
Smooth, yeah.
Right. I thought it was... Never mind.
What do you think? Did you think it was Living La Vida Loca?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is... Yeah, there's only 500. 300 are going to be sold on Reverb. I assume that is direct from Electro-Harmonix.
Ooh.
And the other
from
200...
Electro-Harmonix?
Sorry, Electro-Harmonix.
That'd be weird.
From Earthquaker. Sorry, I've still got the Electro-Harmonix page open on here, so I've just jumped over to it. The other 200 are being sold directly by the band on their merch table.
Oh, very cool.
I assume it's people working for the band. I can't imagine it's like the gigs that I go to where bands man their own merch table and then leave a note that says, please don't steal anything whilst we're playing. Exactly. Yeah.
Imagine buying an effects pedal at a gig.
That's really
well, Baroness have got they have got pedals from this company, Philly Fuzz, who is a Philadelphia-based fuzz pedal company.
God, that's such a good idea.
And they do it. Who else have I seen who's done it? But
imagine if that was the company's like owner's name, Philly Fuzz.
Philly Fuzz. Phil. Philip Edward
E. Fuzz.
Fuzz.
Or just like Phil, but he's casual with
Philly.
It. It's Philly, isn't it? Philly Fuzz.
Who abbreviates to Philly?
It's just
like Frankie, I guess, yeah. Willie.
Why would someone called Frankie abbreviate their name to Philly? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
But yeah, anyway, this big pedal looks... I really want to have a go on one of these pedals at some point because they look amazing.
Buy one from the show that you and Matt are going
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I mean, that show isn't for another, like, 3 months, so I'm it's sure they'll be out of stock. Yeah, they'll be gone by then. Hmm. I think this looks amazing, and I'm all about it. And I'm especially all about this idea of bands kind of having their own sub-brand which they sell directly. I think it's a really smart way
did it recently as well.
Who's that?
The bass player from Wolfpack.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. Peck. What did...
He had a Music Man signature model.
When he was selling it at the shows?
Oh, well, no. You could only buy it off of the Wolfpack website.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Passive order.
Yeah, it was looked really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. This is a weird idea, but yeah.
I think it's really smart. You know, I mean,
and who else is doing it? Jack White with the Game Changer, with his signature.
Yeah. Yes.
But not his signature, is it? It's his record label.
The label signature.
That's quite an interesting one.
Honestly, I think it's really smart. You know, at a time when people are complaining that, you know, you're not making any money from being in a band, you know, you're not making any money from record sales anymore.
Release your own effects pedal.
Well, I mean, totally.
I'm totally going to do this.
The geezer from what's the company that geezer from Dandy Warhols?
Oh, Maleco.
Maleco. Yeah, is that him? Maleco.
Well, he has
not his company.
Pedal,
no, you're thinking
the Charlie Foxtrot.
You're thinking of the chap from the Datsuns who runs.
I love that band.
Oh, what's the company called? Completely gone out of my brain. That do the magnetic effects.
Oh, is that him?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
We've talked about this many times.
Oh, right. No, I had no idea.
That's because you guys never listened to me.
They released something new that I did put in the news and then I took out.
Okay. Well, we probably should have talked
about
it.
We should have talked about it. Yeah.
Talk about it next week.
Oh, yeah. No. So that pedal
is
the Zigzag, which we've had on the news for ages, and I keep wanting to talk about
it's just, it. Got, because it's been on the news for 4 weeks.
I know,
and we just never got around to talk about it. So
I keep wanting to talk about it because I wanted to make a zig and zag joke. I wanted to be like, them girls.
What?
That's firstly, only like one person at that table got that reference. The chance of people listening, just Google
zig. Do you remember zig and zag?
Google zig
and zag. From like Live and Kicking.
No, they were on Big Breakfast.
Big Breakfast.
Andy Peters?
No, Chris Evans.
Do you remember Zig and Zag? They were like puppets.
No.
They were like monsters.
Joe was probably drunk when he was like 11 or something, doesn't know.
But anyway, Zig
and Zag. White Spirit under the sink. So even when I was short, access.
Easy. Zig and Zag were like puppets and they were like a bit coarse. They were kind of like Statler and Waldorf, but...
Right. So they used to swear a lot and hit people.
They didn't swear because they were on like...
7 in the morning.
Yeah, right. Right. But they also like... They had a couple of singles, one of which was Dem Girls. And it's really funny. Anyway, that speaking of, we should actually talk about that pedal very briefly because it does sound really cool. It's two, I mean, I don't have the press release up or anything at the moment, but it's two drive circuits that you can blend together.
Right.
Which is something that's getting more popular at the moment. I think it's really cool. Like the Fender Pugilist does that, as does the Boss Angry Driver.
Yeah.
Two drive circuits.
As does the 60 Cycle Hum Signature.
Absolutely. So there's I really like that, and basically with I'm sure it's the zigzag.
I mean, if you've been building up to a joke about zig and zag,
it's got to be the zigzag. It's so one side of it is like a JFET drive, and the other side is I don't know, germanium, I think. Right. So like it's two kind of different sounds that you can blend together. And it looks amazing. And it was like pretty cheap as well. So I got annoyed that we didn't get a chance to talk about that. Because I think it looks really cool. Everything that Magnetic does, I think is really cool.
What was that fuzz that we absolutely loved? The satellite.
The White Atom.
Oh, yeah, White Atom white fuzz. Atom. Really yeah, good.
That was really,
again,
really
two
good.
Different fuzz circuits that you could blend together.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, sorry, here
what
we go.
Great
so the Zigzag is a dual stage overdrive. Circuit begins with JFET preamp, blah, 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 blah.
Good spec there, blah 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 blah
blah blah blah. EQ again, blah blah blah. It looks great. I watched a couple of demos. It sounds really cool. I really like this. I think it's fantastic. So yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah, we should try and get one. Anyway, that is it for us here on the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We'll be continuing over on the Patreon episode now, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode and loads of other stuff. And $10 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name, this week, sung in this rather lovely song.
Mark is Al Kadawaki, Rob Barstow, Stephen Bork, Robert Butterworth, Neil Milton, Merrin Peters, Stuart Robson, Jeffrey Wax, Josh Dewar Mitchell, Christian Lund Hansen, John Pearson, John Mayer, Slowly Burning in a Dancing Room, Zach Melton, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric Fowle, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Royce, Chris, Jake Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Gruhl, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon. Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emily James Baker, Juan Correa, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Good, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Robin Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Nordwick, Duncan Watson, Ed Bentley, Steve Merkel, Michael McVeigh, Carlos Mancha, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Lori Amstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moog, Gravit, Phil, Tomset, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew Kim, Scott Kane, Sean Arbo, Christopher Wolfman Carpetson.
What are you doing?
It's already happened.
We haven't discussed this in advance.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, did you record it already?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I've done a little tune for everyone.
You're not going to do it live?
No, because I made a little thing for them. I thought just 1 week I'd give them
what they want,
the value for money of having their names read out properly. You know.
Do you know what I think you should do? You should read these names out in the style of "We Didn't Start the Fire" by
Billy Joel.
What is that?
What do you mean? It's like
in the song. When you're saying in the style of, you mean to the tune of?
Yeah. So you'd have to
be
like.
So I'd be like. Marcus Al Kadawaki, Rob Barstow, Stephen Bork.
Yeah, it's quicker than that.
Marcus Al Kadawaki, Rob Barstow, Stephen Bork, Robert Butterworth, Neville Milton, Merrin Peters, Stuart Robson, Jeffrey Wax, Joshua. That, you know, you'd do that.
No, keep going.
No, I'm not going to do that. I can't do it. I'll leave it to the professionals. Next week, you've got to do it like that.
All right, fine. Next week,
make sure
we'll
you actually do it in that tune, though, because whatever you just did was definitely not that.
I thought I was doing "We're Gonna Start the Fire."
No, the listy bit.
Oh, I didn't know there was a listy bit in that song.
Go and listen to that song and then figure it out for next week.
The whole thing is a list.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of things that happened during like the Cold War.
Weirdly, for someone who has songs that have no choruses, Joe can only remember the choruses of songs.
I just sing that on loop. Okay, yeah, that's good. Just how it goes. Anyway, we'll see you over on the Patreon. For more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye-bye. Stick that at the end of the podcast.
All right, you ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.